The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 426. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by my co-host, who's in another city, Mr. Emilio Lopez.
Hello, people. How's it going?
Well, he was always in another city from you, so.
In a different city, you know?
I'm in a different place. There's a different new environment around me.
Yeah,
You're probably going to see that happen. You're probably going to see that happen at least another two more times this year.
We also got Chris Seeley in the house.
Oh, hey, what's up, everyone?
Adam Vale.
How you doing?
Carlos Romero.
Oh, just looking at Manny's feed, it feels like we're in like those news shows, like now reporting from Sarajevo.
Yeah, right. He's like perfectly centered and shit.
Yes. You know?
All right. We got Brett Murdoch in the house.
What up, party people?
And of course, Mr. Brian Manjoma.
Agent down. I repeat, agent down.
Uh-oh. Yeah. We got to give a shout out to Mr. Broyles, man. Lance Reddick passed away, which is very upsetting. You know?
Yeah, like just out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, I was really random. Like, what the fuck?
They haven't even really gone in. Obviously, his wife said something on his Twitter, but yeah, they haven't actually gone into detail as to what caused his passing.
Yeah, they just said natural causes, but you know. Yeah.
But I mean, it's a weird one because he wasn't at the John Wick premiere. He was supposed to be, but he was at home. Oh, I don't know. Maybe he did know something was wrong. He just wanted to be home with his wife and dogs.
Yeah, pretty much. But
who knows?
Yeah. But Manny, where are you right now? I don't know how much you could say.
I am in San Francisco for a certain gaming event or industry event called GDC.
Yes. Yeah, you're probably going to see a lot of our friends out there, so that's going to be fun.
I already looked through a lot of the things there. I saw Khalif is on there. He's got a couple of panels he's doing, which is pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if Danny and Paris are in the streets. I know the Paris. I believe, shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to Paris. He's going through some stuff right now.
He's got some things going on. I mean, there's nothing. He hasn't found anything out yet. They're still waiting for tests to come back. But
yeah, it might be a blood clot. If it is, yeah, shout out to him because I've had that. It is not. Mm-hmm. You know, that shit is not fun. And Brett, aren't you going through some of that too?
Through some of what now?
The blood clot stuff. Isn't that something you kind of have to deal with yourself right now?
Nope.
Okay. Oh, good. Thank God. Good.
No, you're thinking about the groin like, stuff. Yeah, that like, yeah. About.
No. He was telling me something about some blood clot stuff. I was like, ugh. You know, that stuff is nasty. It won't kill you, but it's just. I mean, it could kill you, actually, if it goes into your fucking brain or whatever. But
in your brain,
But living with it is not terrible, but it's just you got to give up alcohol, which fucking sucks, you know? I remember I had to do that shit. I had to take medicine for like a year, no alcohol, because this shit, because you're already on blood thinners, right? By the way, blood thinners are, it's rat poison. I'm not exaggerating. The doctor Lee told me this is rat poison. You know, it thins your blood. So if you drink alcohol, which already thins your blood, not a good combination. Well, you know,
no wonder there's so many rats in New York. They're giving the poison to the people.
You know, shit is crazy. Anyway, yeah, shout out to everybody. Staying good health. Very upsetting about Mr. Lance. You know, great actor, and obviously for gamers, you know, he was in Destiny and a bunch of other stuff.
Everything.
He was in Horizon Zero Dawn. You know, he was in both of those games. He was a major character, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah. Anyway, without further ado, I know rough segue there. Let's get into some questions. All right. This one we've kind of answered before, but may as well. This is probably one of those things we probably have to, like, bring up every 6 months or so, especially now, you know? Mob Hits. How well has Phil Spencer managed Xbox from 2017 to the present?
All we know is that he just bought a lot of studios. Yeah. That's it. Until they start producing, that's all we know. He focused a lot on just buying up studios so he can build up that catalog, but we haven't seen much materialize from it. So,
because
a lot of studios.
Yeah, because in the beginning, obviously, right? You know, he was trying to clean up the mess of Mr. Don Matrick made. But you know, there does come a point where we have to be like, okay, what have you done? I remember I actually did a Tony's take on this like 3 years ago, where I was like, okay, dude, you've been here 4 years and you haven't done anything, really. What's going on? And it's funny, at that time I said, the only way Xbox is going to shake off the bad rep they had is with a new console. We have the new console, and the rep hasn't gotten any better. Like, it's gotten better than the Xbox One era, for sure, but it hasn't, like, vastly improved, you know?
I think that the make or break is with these big titles, like that Starfield stuff. If these big titles that they put a lot of money into a new IP and they bomb, then that's it. Then it's like, yo, you just like you canceled all these other games, Fable and all of them, because he was supposedly saw some of the product and was like, nah, this isn't going to fly. Well, that would be on him on this one. And then, yeah, it's a failure because they put so much time and money into this game. And if it doesn't live up to expectations, which are pretty high, then it's a failure. It's a failure. And I was like, shit, then what can we expect from all the other studios that really weren't hyping anything big, right? From what all the studios we bought that they picked up, this is the biggest one, right? The biggest title that's
been. Yeah, it is, yeah.
So,
but again, the question is, like, what do you think of his performance in the last 5 years? Not what he is going to do. What do you think he's, you know, how well do you think he's done in the last 5 years? Yeah.
At least a B+, not just for the studio, but for what he's been pushing with the Game Pass and really focusing on it and going all over the place, doing interviews and everything he can to just to really get out there, put it on all these platforms. That's more than, you know, what Don was doing. So,
yeah. I'm going to go down the line here. Why not? Manny, how well do you think Mr. Phil Spencer has done managing the Xbox brand over the last six years?
I mean, there's a lot of potential. There's been a lot of potential for a while now. It's just the thing is that we're just sort of waiting for implementation when these things are going to actually start dropping, you know, because it's like, yeah, you know, the Game Pass seems to be doing okay, and he made these acquisitions, but officially we haven't seen anything yet, you know?
Yeah, Carlos.
So is the question is the last 5 months or the last five years?
From 2017 till now.
Okay, yeah, so I feel like I'm kind of leaning toward what Adam's saying, like kind of like a B grade for a couple of things. Number one, the worst part of his tenure is the games, which it technically is the most important part.
I was about to say, that's the most important one right there, you know?
So to be fair, you know, it's more of an incomplete, but I will say B because he did take the reins during the height of the Xbox One era, which is, you can say it's the height of the Xbox One era or the lulls of the Xbox One era. And now that we transition to a next generation console or to a new generation, the gap is closed. Decreased from last generation. So, you know, Xboxes are selling better than last generation. So that's an improvement. Game Pass was, rolled out, and it's primarily a success in terms of just, you know, the user experience and a lot of the stuff that they've implemented. So in those senses, I do give them credit. I do give them credit for acquiring all these studios. If you can't beat them, join them. So, you know, their first party studios was just Halo, Gears, and Forza. And now, you know, they've acquired all these studios. So now they can promise their customers something, or at least the promise of something. But yes, the fact that they haven't released games at a constant rate, first party games, whether they're, you know, primarily I'm talking about AAA games or double A to AAA games, they haven't had a constant flow, just with how many studios they have. So yeah, that's the huge negative. That's where I will deduct a bunch of points. But everything else, I feel like it's been primarily a success.
Brett.
I mean, you guys bring up a lot of good points. My thing is kind of, I think context is important. It's kind of, you know, I feel like he's done as good a job as he could given the shit show that he was handed. I can't really think of what I would expect more. It's kind of the same deal as everybody else. Like, I'm not disappointed. I suppose I could say, well, if you could have magically manifested games out of his ass, that would have been nice. But I, I feel like that's probably a little too soon to tell. You know, so it's given the acquisitions that he's done, that alone, I mean, for me, you all know I'm a Bethesda stan, so like, just getting Bethesda and getting Starfield on their console, to me, is a huge fucking win. I haven't seen an exclusive that big on Xbox in a decade or more. I mean, like, there's been fatigue with a lot of their major franchises. I haven't seen a new game with this much traction since fucking Elden Ring. So it's, to me, just getting that is a pretty big win, because I know that they're going to produce stuff. And so as far as I look at it, like, this generation in the last 5 years, directly due to him, they have put me firmly in the, I can't not get an Xbox now. I like Bethesda games. What, am I just not going to get an Xbox? So I could see, like, there's difference made. Xboxes are selling better. Good acquisitions have come. Would I expect AAA games to come out in less than 5 years? Not necessarily. I mean, we're kind of at the point where can't say that much longer. You know, the gotta have something has to be coming in the next year, maybe two. Beyond that, yeah. Beyond that, that's when we really know whether he succeeds or fails. But looking at where it started and where it ended, yeah, I'd have to say he's been pretty successful for it. I mean, especially when you're grading on a curve with, you know, other people in similar positions, like Lion Ryan. I don't think that he's, I don't even know how to put it other than, you got to grade it on a technical scale. On a technical scale of, like, communication, business foresight, direction.
We branding. See him, like,
he's
something.
Done well on all those things.
Yeah, and we see him doing something. It's not like, oh, he took over and then he just went silent. We see what he's going with, his direction. Get the studios, get a service like Netflix, build it up, and everybody will just come. So we get that, but like we all say, and we keep saying it, we got to see the games. He's got the studios. He's got studios that we know and respect. They just need to start producing.
Well, here's the thing that I'm realizing. Since we're now 5 years in since, you know, or six years in, right? Mm-hmm. Anything that was before Don Matrick would have come out by now, which means that they didn't have fucking anything in the pipe. When everybody was bitching about need to get games, he went out and acquired the studios because clearly he had to be looking down the pipeline being like, seriously, we don't have fucking anything, nothing in development, nothing big. Great. All right. We're gonna have to spend some fucking money, but you know, yeah. I'm happy. I like my Xbox. It's justified the purchase for me. I've saved a bunch of money from Game Pass. I think we talked about it. I saved like $140 at least just in the last few months. So as far as I'm concerned, he's doing a great job.
All right. I guess I'll go next. All right. So Brett, for your sake, I'm going to do two of these. I'm going to do the objective one. I'm going to do a subjective one.
All right.
I think, yeah, objectively, given all the hurdles he's had to go through and all that, I'm going to give him a B. I think he's done a good job, not only like bringing Xbox back from the brink that Don Matrick created, but also just being like, he's the only head of a gaming division that you could actually, he's affable. You know, he's like, you could actually imagine like, hey, this guy's actually about that life. He actually really cares about what he's talking about. So I think being like a front man like that, I think he's doing a good job. So I'm kind of going with Dumeke says in the chat, it's like, I give him an S right there for that, right? But the games aren't there.
He's been honest, too. He's been honest.
Yeah, the games haven't been there.
That's big for me.
Yeah, so yeah, I think a B is objectively fair. Personally, I'm giving this shit a D.
Is how Xbox is doing now?
Yes, yeah, because remember, they said 2017 till present. I only care about what's happening right now. Remember, Brett, I gave you the objective stuff, now I'm going to go in with the subjective stuff, right? Yeah, no, there's no fucking games, no reason for buying Xbox, no. I like Phil as a person. I think he's a good, like, front man or whatever. I know front man's for music, but whatever. There's no fucking games. It's a waste of time, you know? So, yeah, I'm giving him a D. Like, nah, dude. Like, that could change, obviously. It's a sliding scale, but right now, womp, womp, you know? All right.
And Halo Infinite was under his watch,
yeah,
too. So.
Yeah. Listen, it's just Xbox has been really bad this generation for me, you know? Chris.
Well, I can't really argue with what you just said. He does lose points for the lack of games. Like, the whole reason you buy a system, you're spending hundreds of dollars on a console, is for the exclusives. And he bought like what, 14 studios? Two of the major studios? I mean, one pending, but still, that's probably going to happen. And then what do you have to show for it? Nothing yet. But I will give him that Game Pass was a great idea. So much, if other companies are imitating you, you got Sony to imitate you. You got Nintendo to imitate you in their own dumbass way. So there's some success in that. Like if they're imitating you, you know that you did something right. So in that, and I think he's one of the more approachable CEOs. He's likable, like Reggie was. So out of the current crew, I think Gordon Ramsay Jr. is a failure, and nobody gives a shit about Doug Bowser.
Yeah,
you know, they just suck. Like, you know, nobody likes Jim Ryan, and Doug Bowser's like, I don't know, when they let him out of his office to speak, he speaks for 5 minutes and makes no impact on anyone. So in that terms, he's likable. So I get what you're saying, the subjective and objective. And objectively, yeah, you do have the core thing is the games. And so they're very much lacking. So I would give him, I would just average it to like a B-. You know, there's room for improvement. If there's an explosion of games, it's like, there it is. All the fruit has come to bear finally, and we got all this stuff. Then absolutely, I'll give him full credit for that.
Yeah, I wanted to give him a B-, too, but I gave him just an extra point because I think the guy's cool, you know? Oh, by the way, I got to say this about Reggie Fils-Aimé, right? Because I actually, like, talked with the guy, like, one-on-one. Remember, this is him not being CEO of Nintendo anymore. Actually a pretty cool dude, you know? Actually a pretty cool dude, you know? He didn't have that fakeness about him that I know, you know, Chris, I know, you know, you've talked with him. You've seen that yourself, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He used to give lectures on our strategy to us. And, like, he was in a mode. There's a mode where he talked to you, right? But if we talked to him, I've talked to him one-on-one a few times. And he's very, very likable. He's very nice. You know, but he's always had to be like company man, right? He's the guy representing Nintendo. So I've never spoken to him outside of that. So that must have been an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was like, oh, this is just talking to somebody. Because, you know, we had the New Yorkness about us too, you know? So we had that, you know? So it was good stuff. All right. And Brian, what do you think of Phil Spencer's performance so far?
I'm almost like a mix of everyone where I think he's done an okay job given what he had to deal with. Obviously, I would like for him to do a better job. Again, as Tony said, there's just been a lack of games output. So he definitely has to improve on that aspect. But again, as people have mentioned, like he's probably responsible for Game Pass. And since Sony decided to emulate Game Pass, then he's definitely not doing that bad. Yeah. I mean, if you get in a position where Sony emulates you, then I don't think you're doing a bad job at all.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, good stuff. Let's move on to the next question here, also from Mob Hits. This is an interesting question. With recent reports saying that Sony had issues with the Bethesda acquisition, is the real reason Sony sounds bitter about that deal because it wasn't able to secure exclusivity on Starfield like it did with Ghostwire and Deathloop? Who knows?
I think so.
Yeah, it's still all hearsay with that. I hate this. It's all them saying it. There's no proof that that was ever a thing. So they could say all kinds of shit. Every time another game comes out from Bethesda, they could say, hey, they said that was coming over too.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's rephrase it then. Does Sony feel salty about not getting Starfield?
I'm sure they are. Hey,
of course. Who wouldn't? Probably, yeah.
I think that's
the like, question. Yeah. Unless it flops, then they're like, look, we knew it. We dodged
it. Look at this bullshit right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's that they thought they were going to get exclusivity, but like, I'm pretty sure they could at least deduce, like, well, this would have been on our system if they didn't buy the fucking company, and they seem pretty salty about that shit.
Well, if you hear the way that Activision talk about their relationship with Sony, they say that they're pretty bullish with all the publishers, as if like they're doing the publishers a favor because of their install base.
Well, they do the deals.
Yeah, they do the deal, and that's why they did that deal where they gave Sony a discount because Sony was like, "We want a better deal, or else like we're not going to carry it." As if they could do that. when clearly that's not the case. If anything, this whole thing really is a smack in the face to Naughty Dog and all their first party studios, because they're making it seem like their studios can't carry the weight of a Call of Duty. It's like, so a God of War, that's a good sell, but you're no Call of Duty.
Think about it like this. It's Sony had relationships with both Bethesda and Activision. Bethesda, they had Deathloop as a time exclusive. Yeah. It was a time exclusive for PlayStation.
A year.
And now Microsoft acquired Bethesda, and now all the mainline games and, quite frankly, the big games, Starfield and the Elder Scrolls and the Fallouts, those are going to be exclusive to Game Pass and PC, I guess. Mm-hmm. And now, who else do they have PlayStation has a good rapport with in the last couple of generations? And it's Activision and Call of Duty. They have the marketing deals with that. And now Xbox has acquired them. So, you know, going back to the question, it's hard to say what type of deals they had in place. They had a previous relationship with those types of things, but it's safe to say that they're pretty salty that they acquired Bethesda just by seeing how they've reacted with the Activision stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking crazy, man. But then it makes you wonder, like, going forward, like, once this whole thing is said and done, right, win or lose, how are other publishers or even Activision as a whole going to see Sony? How are they going to perceive them? And it's like, shit, look what you did, because you didn't hurt. I can understand if it was like a hostile takeover, one of those, like that Vivendi, Ubisoft, that's different. This was like a handshake. Everybody involved was all for, because they're all going to get a lot of money, at least the shareholders and stuff. And then you just, cock blocked it. Because of what? Because you, like, from, if we go based off of that quote that the Activision CEO said, that Jim Ryan said, it was like, I just don't want this deal to go through. I don't care about Call of Duty. I just don't want this deal to happen. So it's going to be interesting to see how other publishers see them. And then also, what's stopping Microsoft after this from picking up other ones? Is there a certain, is this like a stopgap now? Like, is this going to be one of the things the CMA says, hey, listen, fine, you can go with this Activision deal. This is a big one, but no more. No more big deal. You can't buy Ubisoft if they go on sale. You can't buy EA. We don't know. Could they do something like that? Could any of these, any of these organizations put a block from them gobbling up other larger ones?
Yeah, maybe. You know, like I said, remember the whole thing with Activision was it wasn't that Microsoft sought to buy them. Microsoft came to them, right? But I think obviously after Activision came, and it's very important to think that. So it's not like Microsoft is just gobbling up companies, right? But after all this shit, I guarantee you Microsoft's going to lay back. They're like, we're not buying nobody right now. Maybe they'll buy some small companies nobody gives a fuck about. But like big ones, they're probably going to chill on that, you know? Yeah. And the one thing I wanted to bring up, you know, with regard to, the way Sony's acting, right? You got to kind of, I know people don't want to do this, but you got to see it from their perspective, right? They like the deal they currently have. That deal's about to change. So naturally, they'd be upset about that. You know, so take it how you will. You know, just playing devil's advocate here. I understand that point of view. If I was Sony, I'd be like, fuck that shit. I'm going to fight this tooth and nail. I don't want you to fucking buy them. That's where I would come at it from.
Here's the other thing I was thinking of. Let's say this deal doesn't happen. Activision goes on as business as usual. And when it's time for the next deal, which is supposed to be 2024, because that was originally, right? It was like, we're going to honor the remainder of this contract. What's to stop now that Activision is all bitter that they even offer that type of, what if they, no more exclusive, no more. We're not doing that deal. We're going to do it with fucking Valve or something. They got.
Well, it depends whether they sign like that extended deal. Because you're right. The original deal ended in 2024, and then they were going to give Sony another 3 years, right? Yeah. But now they're saying we're going to give you another 10 years. But you're right. What happens after that? You're right. So basically, I'm asking the same thing you're asking, just later on. You know, it's like, what happens after that 10-year deal is done? If it goes that way, so they could be like, you know what, Sony? Nah, we don't want to deal with
you. I'm thinking even before that. If this deal doesn't happen and they just stick as business as usual, which is that remaining contract with Activision, and Activision is bitter and says, you know what, we're going to change it, because once it's time to go back to the table to work out a new deal, what if they say, no more exclusive for you guys? You're going to play just like everybody else and no more discount for you.
Yeah. Well, Activision won't really have a, like, Xbox is going to be the one that ultimately makes that decision. You know, Activision won't be in.
No, you're saying if they own it, if they get there. That's what I'm saying. If it doesn't happen, if the deal doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Because you're right. That's what I'm saying. Yo, Sony, you blocked us from getting all this money. You know,
That's it. Exactly. But you know what? Yeah, that's it. Microsoft and them said they're going to give us some money instead. We're going to go with them. You'll still have it, but you're not getting any of these discounts.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You also have to take into account who's the one that generates the most revenue for Call of Duty right now.
Yes, Sony and PlayStation.
So
that only matters so much with Call of Duty.
What do you mean?
Call of Duty fan base is a nice way of saying rabid. Rabid enough to follow the franchise pretty much wherever it goes, man.
Oh yeah, well that's why Sony, you know, doesn't want this to happen, because again, look what happened with the PlayStation outage, right? They lost a lot of people. They're like, "Oh, I can't play Call of Duty on PlayStation. I'm buying an Xbox." They're afraid of that, you know? And I know it's kind of funny. I think Microsoft said only 3% would go. It's really more like 25%, you know? That's a lot.
At least.
Yeah, exactly. So I totally understand that, you know. If this deal, the hypothetical right now, if this deal was happening and Call of Duty wasn't part of it, it'd already be a done deal, just like Bethesda. It's like, with Bethesda, like, oh, that's kind of interesting. That's pretty big. We moved on. But this one is like, oh, shit, Call of Duty. That's the main sticking point, you know. I don't care what Sony says. It is about Call of Duty at the end of the day.
I feel like this whole scenario with when it comes to Activision, it's all business stuff. You know, if the deal doesn't go through, then their business decisions are going to be just business decisions. They're not going to be emotional ones like a Nintendo would do back in the 90s or today. I feel like a lot of this stuff is motivated more towards making as much money as possible. And I feel like having a good relationship with the biggest console seller would be beneficial for both. If it does sell, the sale goes through, then I could see them being more vindictive, because, you know, Big Daddy Phil has all the money, you know, going around in Microsoft backing. So they could, you know, do stuff like that. But when they're independent and their own public company, it's much harder to do that. Be like, yeah, next shareholder meeting for Activision, you know, we're doing some bad things to PlayStation, because, you know, we're going to show them for doing that. No, they're going to be pissed and the valley's going to go down.
Yeah. All right. Any more thoughts on this?
All right. Yo, man, they want all this fighting over duty, man. They fighting over duty.
Yeah. Yo, by the way, Manny, I bought it.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, nice. I got it. And a hat, and an N7 hat, you know?
Nice.
Good stuff. The cool thing about the hat is it's like kind of 3D-ish, but it's also black. So it's like, if you don't know, you know what I'm saying? If you know, you know. If you don't know, it just looks like a regular hat with some kind of interesting design on it, you know?
I have a Ghost of Tsushima and a Merciful Fate hat that look like that.
Nice. All right. Next up, Mr. J Shep, man. All right. First question here. There have been reports that indicate Spider-Man 2 will feature new dialogue technology. Depending on the technology, this might be the next gen experience we're looking for. What are your thoughts? Is this somebody trying to do the Nemesis engine? Because if so, please do. Because, you know, if you guys have been listening to Throwdown, we've been around, right? When Shadow Mordor came out, right? Lord of the Shadow Mordor, we were like, yo, this Nemesis system, this is fucking next gen shit. And to prove a point, right? You couldn't, like, it was on PS, the Nemesis system was on PS4. It was not available on the PS3 version. That's next gen. If it's not available on the previous console, automatically next gen, right? So anything that's even approximating that would be cool. But the problem is, fucking Warner Brothers, they have a patent on this shit. So I'm wondering, can anybody get away with doing a version of it legally, you know?
No, fuck. they patented the fuck out of it. Not just every piece of it, as well as how it works together, as well as the overarching kind of main idea of it. So I'm pretty sure they've patented down to the idea of a Nemesis system, as in a system where an enemy remembers you and adjusts its actions accordingly. I'm pretty sure just that they have patented. It's fucking bullshit.
What about an ally system? Your friends remember what you said and did, you know?
That might be possible, but yeah, I'm still pissed about that, because we could have had that shit years ago, but they decided to stifle it and then never use it again.
It's infuriating. It's like, sell it to people, license it, make money. You know, it's like they're just hoarding their toys and shit. No, nobody gets this shit. It's like, you can make money off of that. Give it to people, you know? But no, they're being dicks. So yeah, if the new Spider-Man has something equivalent to that, that'd be fucking great. And yes, it would be next gen, you know? Absolutely. You know, and this is shit we always talk about. Next gen isn't just about graphics. We've kind of plateaued with graphics. Like, you got to give us some shit that's underneath, you know?
Hold up a minute, though. Did we just say that implementing a system that we had for the PS4 is next gen?
Ironically, yes. I caught that too myself. But, but think about it. That thing is the closest thing to next gen we've gotten in the last 10 fucking years, which is pretty sad if you think about it.
You know? Oh, God.
Which is really fucking sad. Damn. You know? But it is what it is, man. But yeah, I welcome that for sure, you know? But
they should do the Telemundo system where Miles Morales is able to speak better Spanish.
You know, the Telemundo edition. Blitz says Suicide Squad will remember how shit it is. Yeah, that game's dead on arrival, man. Don't, you know, fuck that. All right, moving on here. Another one from Mr. J. Shep. It's 2023. Gaming has been around for decades and people still refuse to recognize gaming as a constructive hobby for adults. Why do gamers get so much hate? Ooh, what an open question this is, man. There's so many factors here. Who wants to start this off? And like, this is something I've said, and this is also a problem with comic books as well. That name hurts people. Like, it hurts the genre, right? You see game, you automatically think thing for kids, right? Comic books, oh, it's a funny thing, right? But it's like, the name isn't giving you an idea of what it actually represents, right? Like, I think, but it's not as catchy, right? Video game is more catchy than interactive entertainment, which is an actually like accurate description, right? Interactive entertainment, you know, but that's not as catchy as video game. So that's been a problem since the get up, you know? And I don't know how they're going to get around that. As for why gamers get hate, I'm going to say this, man. There's some gamers out here, the way you behave, I understand why, you know? But at the same time, a lot of it is also unfair, too, you know, because the people who particularly who make laws and stuff don't understand the, you know, the hobby. They don't understand the culture and all that. So it's very easy to pigeonhole and scapegoat people, you know? And I don't think that stigma is going to go away right now. It's crazy how, like, even fucking heavy metal got eventually accepted, you know, for the lack of a better. You have fucking, even if they're fucking fake and shit, you have people wearing like Morbid Angel shirts and stuff. They never listened to the fucking band, but it's acceptable now, right? But video games is still a stigma till this day. It's fucking wild. And I don't know how you could ever shirk that, you know, like, you have quote unquote prestige games like The Last of Us and stuff, you know. But that's not really doing. By the way, real quick, some fucking TikToker, they made a video going, oh, why didn't you tell me video games were this good? You know, because she saw The Last of Us show, she was like, why didn't you tell me? You know, that stigma still persists, you know. But going back to what I said before, the way gamers reacted was fucking abysmal, you know. Like, they were like, oh, you fucking bitch, you should have known about this. You know, it's like, she, granted, the way she said it was very snobbish and I didn't like her tone, but she literally asked, can you recommend more games like that? You could have went, okay, the bitch's tone was stupid, here's some good games, play these. But no, they just went after her. You know. So yeah, anyway, I rambled on. Manny, go ahead.
No, I mean, what you said was absolutely right, man.
I feel like the stigma that we're thinking of right now is a stigma that we grew up under. I feel like gaming has been more acceptable every generation.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of it doesn't exist as prominently as it used to. Obviously there's always going to be people that still fit that description. I don't think it's as big of an issue as it used to be, in particular where a lot of the older generation play games like on their phones and stuff like that. So it's not like something that's
Carlos, I kind of disagree with you because, like, normie media still treats it like it's the fucking 1980s. No,
but that's the old people. You got to talk to young people. You have to talk to kids. Like, I talk to my kids. So they go to school, and they're talking to their friends, and they all play games.
Yeah,
they all play games. It doesn't matter what console. It's like, oh yeah, my friend played this, that. Boy, girl, doesn't matter. It's not that thing anymore. Even parents, a lot of the parents that I'm meeting, they're of our generation. They have consoles. So it's like the guy across the street, and he has his kid and stuff, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I just bought a PS4. You know, he's not behind, but he bought some. So
Adam brings up a good point. Back in the day when we were in school, our own classmates would stigmatize us.
Mm-hmm.
Playing video games.
Yeah. I think you're right. Like, with it for regular people culturally, it's not as stigmatized anymore. But I still see the media still really dogging on gamers, you know, and gaming in general. I still see it. It's like, damn, you guys haven't really gotten with the times, have you?
And how are they older people that you're seeing?
It's worse.
It's a legacy media, you know.
At least as a kid, when people were calling you a fucking nerd, they didn't say you were a racist in the same fucking breath.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah. That's a whole other thing right there. You know? You can say that about...
I guess misogyny is more the relevant term in that. But, like, still, man, like, you used to, like, get made fun of for playing video games, but, like, people didn't fucking hate you. So, like, it's gotten better in ways. It's gotten worse in ways.
Brett, do you remember this meme? It was like... gaming journalists in the 90s, right? The game you like is awesome, right? Gaming journalists in the 2000s. The game you like sucks. Gaming journalists in the 2000s. The game you like is racist, you know? I'm like, that's pretty accurate, you know?
Yeah.
And that was 2010. What is 2020s, you know? You're racist for liking video games or something like that, you know? It's wild, man. Shit is crazy, you know? Any of you guys have any other more thoughts on this?
No, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on then. All right. We got some sponsored questions right now, people.
Who's sponsoring shit?
Right. So far we got a perennial, the perennial one, the very generous Mr. Romudeath. He is sponsoring a couple of Mob Hits questions. So first one is, what must Xbox do to improve the perception it struggles to release games? Simple. Release games.
Release
the games.
You improve the perception of releasing games by actually releasing those games.
Yep, that's it. You know, answer that one quickly, so move on to the next one. Oh, go ahead, Carlos.
Real quick.
He's like, no, not really.
Yeah, no, actually, you can't do something else besides release games.
What I was going to say is just, you can release games. You don't have to release them every month. You know, you can release a game every quarter. And I think the way we're starving, that we'll be satisfied, you know. So it's not like, hey, just release a game every week. No, or just release a game every month or every other month. No, it's like we're not even asking for that much. It's just, if you released one, like, imagine releasing like a big ass AAA game every quarter. So
that's four games a year, man. You'd be set. You know,
we'd be eating, and we'll be like, that's the perceptions. Yeah, you guys come up with the games.
Yeah,
and that's it.
That's it. That's it. Thank you, man. All right, another sponsor question here from Mr. Mob Hits. This is a J-Shep question. Sony has filed another patent for cross-platform NFTs. What is the gaming industry's infatuation with NFTs, even though it's obvious gamers don't want them? I don't fucking get it. Didn't Sony have something like NFTs you could rent? How absurd are we getting right now? Like, okay, first you're buying something that's not real. Now you're renting something that's not real. This is fucking stupid. You know, I thought we were over this already, you know? But again, the gaming infatuation with this is the same way as everybody else's was. They thought it was some, how can I get rich off of this? No, you know, exactly. I remember this meme. It was perfect, for this year, right? You know that one where it's like you have the old lady in the pool and stuff. She's like catching a kid and there's a kid drowning and shit. There's a skeleton under the water, right?
What?
Yeah, you know that meme, right?
No.
Okay, so the meme is there's an old lady She's waiting for a kid to come into a pool. Kid's all happy and shit. Then there's another kid who's kind of just drowning, and then under the water is a dead skeleton, right? So you basically do that with you know, with things that are interesting. So the old lady is 2023. The kid she's about to pick up is fucking ChatGPT. The kid that's drowning is the metaverse, and the kid that's, or the person that's dead is NFT. So I'm like, yeah, that's pretty perfect. You know, like, what else are we going to move on to next? You know, so it is kind of funny where, like, when you hear the random NFT stories, like, we're still talking about that. I thought the shit was dead. I thought you guys moved on to something else right now. You know, I thought it was all about ChatGPT right now, you know, and poor metaverse is just struggling there, you know. But yeah, I don't know if anybody has any questions. I think the whole NFT thing is fucking stupid, you know.
I don't understand why you think it's going to die. It's
already dead, basically. You know that
it just came up on it.
No, my thing is, like, I don't understand why gaming companies are still trying to go with this, where it's like no one gives a fuck, man. It's over. You know, at least in gaming, it's over. You know, go ahead.
Anytime a company can find out a way to suck as much money from a consumer base as possible, they'll come up with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why NFTs are so prominent with all these companies. Like, oh, we're thinking about doing NFTs. Oh, you know, Square Enix is doing this. Oh, Ubisoft is thinking about doing this. Oh, Sony is thinking about doing it. They're just trying to suck up all your money. And that's all this is.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's no surprise that it keeps coming up. And, you know, it's going to keep coming up every year because I don't see this going anywhere.
Yeah, but I think I'm just specifically talking about with gaming. Like, I don't know what other companies, if they're still going with this NFT nonsense, but gamers have been pretty vocal about this one. You know, it's like, no, we don't want this shit. But, you know, but rentable NFTs, come on now. By the way, I'm going to shoot you guys. I can't believe you haven't seen this fucking meme, you know. I'll throw it into our Twitter here so you guys can see. And maybe use it for your own purposes, you know.
Replace the text with your own text.
Yeah, no, and this one is clean. There's no text on it whatsoever, you know. All right. Go ahead, Carlos.
I saw it the other day. It's like the mom is Elon. He's holding up Twitter, and Tesla's drowning, and Boring Company's already dead.
Yeah, see, so you know the meme, you know.
I saw something on Twitter that popped up. It's like, oh, your two-factor authentication needs to be removed. It's for Blue members.
Oh, yeah, I'm that's like, gone. Yeah.
Is a security feature for your account now linked to a paywall?
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah, I had to do the authentication app route. You know, that's how I did. I had to do it, but it's fucking dumb. It's stupid. All right, moving on here. Oh, another sponsored question. This one is, I may know this guy. I think he may have lived in a couple of boroughs. Citizen. He is sponsoring a J Shep question. J Shep goes, I've been introduced to a new world of gaming after purchasing my Steam Deck last year, partly thanks to you guys. Yay, yay. See, see, we talk about games too, man. We talk about the shit we like, you know.
We're influences.
I'll actually address that specific thing I just talked about on the Thursday show. This is the question show. I'm not going to address that. But there was some good stuff that happened in the chat over
there. He's resting right now. But,
yeah. My question is, with the success that Valve is having with Steam Deck, is there any incentive to make a new Steam machine? With today's economy, would they be able to price it affordably?
No, they already said no. They said no.
Said okay.
And they said no, and they were, because they was in the same question when they were asked if there's plans for another Steam Deck, and he said yeah, but not for many, many years from now.
Yeah,
I said for a full iteration. So we may see maybe one with a better screen or something come down the road, whatever. But for a brand new version, we're not going to see for many years. And this is working out great for them. That was the whole thing. When they tried to do the Steam machine, they did one of their own, and then they had a bunch of others.
That was the problem.
That was a mess. That was a mess.
Yeah.
And so they were like, all right, we're going to bring it in-house and make everything fit to the way we want it. And the Steam Deck has been working out great for them. And so they have no plans of going back to that other model. So, which is no surprise because most people don't even bother with towers unless you're big into, you know, doing the gaming thing. But if you could do a portable on the handheld, and obviously a lot of people willing to do it, then that's what they're going
to
do.
Yeah. And so you don't have to worry about, oh, which model do I get? It's just here's the company that makes it. Here's how much memory do you want? Go. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, it's perfect. Yeah, or how much storage you want. It's great.
It's similar. Yeah. It's kind of some parallels to Nintendo, because Nintendo, you know, obviously they had the console, the home console, and they released a Switch, and it blew up. And now it's like you don't really see them ever doing a non-portable console like a Switch. So
you're right.
But the same unlike Nintendo, we already know your next Steam Deck will be able to play all the other games that were on your previous Steam Deck and all the other emulators and all that. That's why it's like it really is your one-stop shop. If somebody's
no friend codes either.
This is it.
Like you said, it's the Switch killer. You know, you don't.
It's
need
the it. It plays it all. It makes me so happy. Like I look at it so happy. My son, he's been playing. He beat Miles Morales on there.
Yeah.
And now he's halfway through the regular Spider-Man remastered. He's 6 years old, and he's already doing replays of these.
Games. Nice.
I like awesome. How many every time, shout out to Adam. I'll give him credit. Every time I talk to this guy, there's always a new game that he's playing on the Steam Deck.
Yeah, Marlo Briggs is the newest one that I'm playing on that damn thing. I post it on Twitter. I post it in the chat. Check it out. People in the chat, look at Marlo Briggs. You're going to be like, why did I not see this when it came out many years? Over 10 years old, that game. Marlo Briggs.
That's crazy. All right, moving on here. Oh, more sponsored questions because there was a lot of extra questions this week. All right, another very generous person known as Mr. Lunar Diaries, man. He is sponsoring more Mob Hits questions.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, first up here, would a complete open world Resident Evil reboot work? By open world, I mean starting from the mansion and traversing through the woods and eventually making your way to Raccoon City, for example. For no reason whatsoever, Chris, you can answer this one first.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to play it safe and lean towards no. I think the bigger games don't work. We saw that with Resident Evil 6. You had this globe-trotting adventure. You had, Mr. Leon's Wild Ride through a city, and then he goes to, like, Hong Kong, and Chris Redfield goes to another country in Europe, and then he's somewhere else. I don't think Resident Evil plays well to, like, a big open map or just big locations. And look how they fixed it. They reduced it down, and then 7's just happening in a big old rickety house in Louisiana. You know? It's like... The narrow corridors, the dark spaces, that kind of stuff, just shrinking it down, it was actually helped it. It saved it. So I don't think that the open world would suit it well. I'm going to say no. And the spin-off games that did it too, like Operation Raccoon City and all that stuff, even though those are more like SOCOM, they're not really open world games, but they still have big maps, it doesn't work. It doesn't work too well.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I don't think that game could work in open world, you know? Like, yeah. What about, is there anybody here who thinks it could work open world?
I'm having Resident Evil fatigue right now. This is too much.
Resident
Evil. Yeah, it's like with 7, I restart playing that again. Then the Village was on, so I picked that up, started playing that. You know, and then all the other ones, it's the new 4 and all that. So I can't do it.
Yeah. Brett, you were saying something?
I think Resident Evil would actually probably be pretty uniquely adapted to an open world. I mean, like, think of The Division, right? Like, okay, so where the fuck are all these terrorists always coming from? I just killed, like, 6 down the block, and, like, I come back 4 hours
later.
They're
from Russia. They're from Russia.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, zombies could actually provide... I mean, we've seen, like, Dying Light, the idea of, like, here's a kind of collapsed city full of zombies. Like, I think that could honestly work with Resident Evil, depending on how they did it. I'd love to explore Raccoon City right after the outbreak. That'd be kind of cool.
But would it be a horror game at that point?
That's what I'm saying. It seems like an action game at that point, yeah. That's kind of my main thing. It's like once it's open world, it's not.
Isn't it already?
And some it depends on the game, obviously, you know.
Yeah,
like Resident Evil 2 is not like action.
Well, The Last of Us could have been Resident Evil. If we slapped Resident Evil on it, that could have worked.
Well, sure, but it's all those are all slower paced games.
Oh yeah,
when you get into open world, like when we're playing Division, Division's fast paced. Fast, and so is Dying Light. You're running around parkouring everywhere. That's not Resident Evil. As soon as you deviate from that formula, that's what happened with 6. 6 deviated too far from the formula. You had half Call of Duty and half whatever Leon's campaign was, and it's like, what the hell is this? It's not Resident Evil. That's why people rejected it.
Leon's campaign is the reminder that it's horror-ish.
Yeah, and then Chris Redfield was a Call of Duty. He even had a different heads-up display with all the gun stuff on it.
I don't feel like we've gotten a true horror Resident Evil since they took away the fixed cameras. Like, what, even seven, four, seven. Like, it's an action game.
Seven was pretty fucking seven. Terrifying.
That made it. Seven went back to my shorts. That made me a little freaky.
They returned to formula with seven. That's why it has come back so strong, because of that rebound. And you know, you need that kind of like horror element works best in corridors and tight spaces and environments, right? Yeah. That's why Dead Space works. That's why Resident Evil 7, when they revamped it, that's why that works. As soon as you open it up and you're running around a big city shooting 10,000 zombies at a time, it's not Resident Evil anymore. It's Dead Rising, right? It's Dead Island. Resident Evil.
Like Days Gone, I remember riding around on a motorcycle. That was pretty open world. Then I would run out of gas and have
to. Yes, but that's not a horror game either. Even though you have zombies, it's not. It's like once you're in that open world action title, you're just changing the nature of the enemy. Instead of terrorists, it's zombies, right?
So, Chris, let me ask you, why couldn't you have closed corridors in an open world? Like, just because you have the choice of which corridor to go down doesn't mean that you couldn't have like packed alleyways where you have to like climb in a window and there's only one way out. And you could still have that in theory, couldn't you?
No, because that's tough. You'd switch the nature of the game every time you like, okay, I leave spooky building one to go down the road to spooky building seven. But then in that interim, right, either if I want to keep the atmosphere, I have to make the streets empty and I just get in a car and go to the next spooky house. Or you're saying I have to shoot my way down the street. And
I'm saying there is no street. Streets full of collapsed rubble and burning fires. You have to go from building one to building six to building three, climb up on the roof, jump over the top of that, climb back down. Like,
then you're like in Dark Souls. It's not really open world. Right? You're kind of guided. If you're saying like, well, I can go from building one to three, but I can't go to one and two, and I can't walk this way because the roads collapse, but I can walk this. Then you're in Silent Hill territory. You know, the map is engineered to guide you in certain directions. And once you do that, you're not open world anymore.
I mean, I disagree with that to a certain extent, but I get what you're saying. I guess I'm thinking of like, you know, if you play a game that was like a earthquake disaster, like you're trying to climb through rubble and, you know, get through buildings that have no power and shit like that. Like, I just don't see why, like, I guess you're right, like, it wouldn't be a horror game, but, like, I don't really know that things other than Dead Space are horror games, and, it, you know, if we're advocating a return to formula for Resident Evil, sure, but if we're going to go the Resident Evil 4 formula, fuck it, let's go. Let's just have the whole game be the beginning of Resident Evil 2, because that part was, honestly, one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, but what you're describing sounds more like Resident Evil 6, and nobody liked that game, you know?
Well, I guess I've been describing what everybody would have liked Resident Evil 6 to be, you know, if it didn't suck.
Yeah, because remember, like 5 was kind of contentious too because it was more action oriented, and then 6 was just nothing but action, you know.
I feel like 4 is the perfect balance. Like,
I agree.
And I count 4 as an action game. I don't think that you're going to lose that amount of 4 in an open world.
Yeah, I get, you know, it's how you see it. I don't see 4 as an action game. I see it as a horror game, you know. Does have action for sure, you know. But 7 is like, that's fucking horror, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the old school survival horror, like, and that's a very specific genre where, you know, I honestly don't play those games because I hate the main mechanic of a video game being that I don't have enough bullets.
Yeah. I think the type of game that you're describing, Brett, would be pretty interesting. But I think once you change up the
it wouldn't be Resident Evil.
Mechanics enough. Yeah. It's not Resident Evil anymore. Yeah. And there's a game that was on 360 that is like what you're describing. It was called I Am Alive. And this guy was in this cult
of something. Yeah. His hand was always shaking.
I remember that. Wasn't that a Ubisoft game?
I think so, yeah.
I have it on Steam Deck.
My pocket for this one, guys. Hold on. I almost got it. There it is. DayZ. Open world horror zombie game. Done.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Fucking horrifying. That game was scarier than any Resident Evil I have ever played, man.
But don't you think
this is a survival game too?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
There's the aspect of the survival is in there. So which brings that and the randomness of that of the whatever is happening. You know, like
exactly. And while that may be scary, think about the simplicity of Resident Evil. Your character never needs to eat. There's three colored herbs that if you mix them a certain way will cure anything. You know, like, so it needs that simplicity the same way that if we were to say, like, hey, you know what, Nintendo, what you should do is give Zelda Dark Souls's leveling system and weapon system and all that stuff. Then it's not Zelda anymore, because that simplicity is like out the window, right? You're like, your character should have all these stats. Link should have all this shit. He should level up. He should focus points in certain areas, and then he could cast magic. Well, then it's not Zelda now, is it? Right? It starts becoming Elder Scrolls or something. So what you're describing?
Didn't we call it Zelda when they added the fragility system and overhauled the whole?
Weapon fragility is just a mechanic. But if we were to say, hey, this is too simple, right? Like, we like Dark Souls, so let's make Zelda like Dark Souls, right? But Dark Souls has a character sheet, right? And you have all these stats for your weapons. You level up your weapons a certain way. Do I make it mundane? Do I make it magic? Do I make it fire-based? All that is way too complicated for a Zelda play. Like, they would reject that outright. Every Zelda fan would be like, this is bullshit. I just want a boomerang and a bow and arrow and the master sword, and I just go and I just fight, right? That's what they want.
By the way, I Am Alive is $3.74 on Steam right now.
There you go.
I picked up a long time ago, man. It's good.
Like I said, the online multiplayer services for this game are shut down, but single player features will remain available. It's hilarious. All right, we got another question here. What the fuck was that?
Hey, somebody's playing something.
All right, another question here, another sponsored question. Should Xbox shift its focus to Japanese games / developers after the Activision deal is resolved? We talked about this a million times. Like, they keep trying, and the Xbox fans don't care, you know?
There's no point. It's no point. That's not the largest market. We're in the largest market, so fucking...
That's it. Yeah. They're like, I'm not saying give up, but it's not going to work. It historically never worked. You know, Xbox fans don't care. You know,
no,
they don't care. All right. Next up, we got Black Metal Gamer. Right. By the way, Black Metal Gamer, you asked us two questions. The first one you asked us, we can't answer that shit. Are you fucking kidding me? You know, I'm not even going to repeat it here.
Is he talking about midgets again? Is he doing
midgets? No, not midgets, but it was something pretty like, no, dude, come on now. You know, I could tell this dude asks us questions when he's drunk and shit. You know, it's like, no, we're not gonna. all right. By the way, these are the last two questions of the night, and they're kind of interestingly related, because Black Metal Gamer asks, and then Logic Wins comes in. He's like, oh, based off that question, you know, so kind of fun stuff. Okay, is anyone looking forward to an eventual behind the scenes documentary about Sony fighting Microsoft's Activision Blizzard deal? This is a whole new level of console war shit. So he's basically saying, in the future, would you like to see? I want to see the behind the
scenes. Cool. We talked about this. This has to be. Somebody has to make a movie about this. This is it. We have to see, especially if it keeps dragging out.
Yeah. Oh, but we're going to combine all the questions, right? Logic Wins goes, you know, based off Black Metal Gamer's question, assuming there is a Hollywood reenactment of the Activision Blizzard debacle, which actors would play the key players? So here's what he lists. This one's fun. I just have one bone to pick, and I'll get to that in a bit. He goes, here's my suggestion. Jonah Hill as Bobby Kotick. Okay.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
He's kind of weird looking.
He goes, after gaining a couple of pounds, I'm guessing muscle, right? In this case, Tom Cruise as Phil Spencer. No. Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn looks like him. Like, that's yeah. Liam Neeson as Jim Ryan. Oh, shit.
Why do you have a certain set of skills?
Claudia Dumit as Lena Khan. I don't know either of these people. Constance Wu as Lulu Chang Mr. V. I don't know who those fucking people are.
Constance Chang?
Yeah,
Who names their kid Constance? That's like a 1800s name.
Yeah, Constance. I like Jonah Hill. I like Liam Neeson. And I got to take out
the top. Jonah Hill was perfect.
Yeah, Jonah Hill's absolutely perfect, you know? But no, come on. It's Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn is fucking Phil Spencer. I've been saying that forever, you know?
Well, wouldn't you say Liam Neeson and Vince Vaughn are probably too old for those
it's a Hollywood reenactment. It doesn't matter, you know? Liam Neeson, actually, Jim Ryan looks older than him, you know?
No, I mean, Jim Ryan looks like Gordon Ramsay, but, you know, you can't use him.
Well, why not?
It's us! It's us! What are they trying to do? Those sons of bitches!
I know. You know what? Let's get Gordon Ramsay. This is a fucking dream, like
thing. Yeah,
you know?
Just yeah. get
Gordon Ramsay. Yeah. Gordon Ramsay's is
as Jim Ryan.
Jim Ryan.
Oh man. As for those two last people, I don't know who they are, so I don't know. Okay, who are the other big players? So yeah, we got Kotick, we got Phil Spencer, we got Jim Ryan.
I guess one of them was
Major Nelson. Major Nelson. Who's going to play Major Nelson?
Well, he is even involved in any of this. We don't hear.
No, he's not really.
He doesn't. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't talk about it. He doesn't.
Aaron Greenberg.
Who would be Aaron
Greeny?
Who would be a play good Aaron Greenberg? Colin Farrell in makeup.
Oh man, that could work. Anyone in those roles, yeah.
Jason Sudeikis as Major Nelson.
Yo, Tony, ask me who's gonna. What's the name of the CEO of Microsoft?
Oh, Nadella.
You know who's gonna play him?
Nadella. Who's gonna play
that dude from Harold and Kumar?
Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley.
Oh no!
I thought he was a smaller guy though. I remember seeing him. He was a really small guy.
So is Ben Kingsley.
Is he?
Yes.
No, but we got Ben Kingsley in this shit. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's right.
Give this movie some class.
You know? Ben, yeah, Logic Wins likes our suggestions.
Man,
I'd rather just see a documentary. I want to see a documentary. These dudes retired in their own words, sit down, you know, it's like, yeah, this is what happened. This guy called me a prick while we were in the cafeteria.
Jim Ryan's like, I really hate that jock.
I like Manny's suggestion because Liam Neeson's too intimidating. Jim Ryan would sound like he wants to kill somebody.
No.
I have a certain set of skills.
Yeah. That's too badass for Jim Ryan.
Yeah. All right. That was good. That was good stuff. All right. That's the show, people. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Do we have anything to plug around here?
Not me.
Yeah, and I keep saying The Walking Dead. Fucking The Last of Us is over.
Oh yeah, that finished last week. That's it. That's done. And myself, Richard, Billy Jr., Carlos, we covered that. So you can check that out over at the Coalition Gaming on that new channel, which we're trying to build up. It's just going to cover gaming stuff and then gaming related content like movies, TV shows, and stuff related to games. So that's what that is. And that's it. Just keep checking out the site. More reviews and stuff. My review of 2K23 WWE goes up tomorrow. Love it. So that's it.
I am Negan is in hiatus.
Yeah, until whenever they decide to stop pushing back all these shows that are finished. That's the sad part. It's one thing. It's like, oh, they have production issues, COVID. No, these are already finished. We know this because the cast members keep talking about it on all the social medias. Yep, I'm done. Moving on, other stuff. Like, then it's just AMC holding on to it, whether. They're trying to stretch out the content on their TV schedule or whatnot, but we're just waiting. Yeah, and then we'll be back with that.
Good stuff. All right, people, make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app on the planet by searching for Throwdown Show. That's towards Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Steam Deck for life.
For life. Brett Murdoch.
There's this.
And Brian Majoma.
So they've launched an internal corruption investigation. I wonder how that's going to turn out.
Oh boy, you gotta tell us about this shit. All right, people, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.
This is
later.